Good morning, church.
Morning.
Brilliant. I'll take that. Today we're going to be talking about how grace transforms our relationships. Over the last 4 weeks, we've sort of had messages around grace, and I think Joe and Naomi and Jonathan have been really useful in helping us come to a place where we understand God's grace and how important it is for us. We will do today's message. We're looking at forgiveness, and we're going to look at the parable or the story of the unmerciful servant, a story Jesus shares to underscore the need to practice forgiveness. Forgiveness is countercultural. And at this time, Peter asks Jesus the question, and we will read about this shortly. You know that forgiveness is not a popular idea. We live in a culture where people want to have a revenge. People want to have a go at others. And sometimes there's a lot of meanness in society that is difficult for people to bear. But as Christians, God wants us to learn to forgive. Amen.
Amen.
Let me welcome my buddy Jared to read Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Round of applause for Jared.
Thank you very much. Then Peter came to Jesus and he asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed." This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart.
Give a round of applause to Jared. That's brilliant. Thank you. I think I've not had the... Thank you. Don't worry, Dan. Okay, this story is not about numbers. Though as a math teacher, I would love for life to be all about numbers. Okay? Jesus is not suggesting that we should be counting each time our brother offends us. Neither is he saying, wait until you get to that magic number. This verse captures God's desire that we live our lives constantly in reflection of God's grace, that we are willing to pass that same grace on to others. Peter asked Jesus the question, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Is it up to 7 times? Now, it suggests that Peter expected Jesus' answer to be no more than 7. Surely, if someone offends you 7 times, they have to be intentionally wanting to get you angry, isn't it? In fact, in those days, the Pharisees thought that if someone was to offend you 2 to 3 times, then it was fair game. You could add them to your list of no friends zone. Okay? You know, you could actually then not forgive them. But what Jesus teaches us here is remarkable. Because instead of 7, Jesus suggests 77. And actually, some translations actually say 70 times 7. And I love that because, again, as a math teacher, it winds me up when people don't know their times table. Because actually, 70 times 7 is 470 times. 490 times. 470 times. I don't know what my students listen to. Why they still listen to me. You see, in the context of Peter's question, it was unreasonable. And the point Jesus was making is that your brother will have to offend you a whole lot of times for you to get away with not forgiving them. Jesus then uses this story in this verse to bring home the truth of forgiveness. The king in this story represents God, our Father. In this parable, he is both kind and just. He seeks a repayment for the debt owed by the first servant, but the servant pleads for more time to pay. But instead of giving that servant more time, what does he do? He cancels the debt completely. This is symbolic of God's grace to us and his forgiveness. You might go to God and say, God, give me more time to change. And God saying, despite where you are now, I forgive you. Your slates are wiped clean. And that is what God's forgiveness is all about. God forgives us our sins. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it encourages us to forgive one another as someone, one Bible commentator says, the difficult word there is us, isn't it? Because it encourages us to forgive others as God forgives us. You see, a deep understanding of God's forgiveness and God's grace is crucial to understanding how to forgive others. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were yet, he didn't wait for us to be completely clean or fixed up. He died for us while we were yet sinners. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 to 5 says, but because of his great love for us, God is rich in mercy and has made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you are saved. God's not only forgiving us, he's brought us into relationship. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Because sometimes we forgive people and we say, that's the end. Yeah. He's not seeing any of me anymore. I'm going to keep away from him. But Jesus doesn't do that. He forgives us, but he brings us close. He makes us his bodies. 1 John 4 verse 9 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We don't get God's love because we are good people. We don't get God's love because we love him. He chooses to present himself to us. And that's how God wants us to love others. Number one, God's grace and forgiveness is undeserved. We are to forgive not because the other person deserves it, but because we choose to forgive them. We don't give people what they deserve. We bless them regardless of what they have done. You've heard that cliche, you know, I'll give him what he deserves. No, we don't as Christians. We give them the love of God. And that includes your boss in the office. Number two, God's need for justice is satisfied through the sacrifice of Jesus. Christ paid the price so we can be restored to a deep relationship with God. When we forgive, we must not seek vengeance or retribution. The Bible says vengeance is of the Lord's. We must be comfortable with that. A stronghold of unforgiveness is the desire to see the other person suffer for what they've done, isn't it? I don't want to let them go. I want to see them suffer. But actually, that's not what God wants, because he restored us back to fellowship. Number three, God's forgiveness has paid the full price. There is no more penalty and nothing for us to pay back. The master wrote off the total debt. Our forgiveness is total and complete. There is nothing left to pay. No penalty. So it is when we forgive others, it must be how? Total, yeah, and complete. Have you noticed sometimes when we forgive people, we put it in a record somewhere in the back of our minds. I'm waiting for the next time he does that to me. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. This is what God's love and forgiveness really means. Undeserved, totally restored, paid full price. And this is what God wants us to do to others. How can we say we know the love of God, and yet when a brother offends us, we don't forgive them? The taste of God's love and what God has done for us is that we can pass that on to our brothers. If God has shown us mercy, he expects us to pass that on in our relationship with others. This morning, I saw the picture of someone being poured oil on their heads. And you know, like, the oil is everywhere. It's not possible then for that person to interact with other people and that oil does not impact them or touch them. And if the grace of God is so mighty upon us, it means that some of that grace will rub off on other people. Amen? Yeah. Okay. Why should we forgive? Why is this important? Forgiveness is, number one, forgiveness is God's command and symbolizes our relationship with God. You know, sometimes when my teen daughters talk to me about stuff and say, you know, Dad, why should I do this? Why should I do that? Why should I do that? I do say that sometimes. So it's not recommended parenting, though. I do say to them, because I said so. You know, just do it. Forgiveness is God's command. It's how we treat others. It's the mark of Christianity. If you look at the scriptures, when it talks about the Christian faith, I think there's a place where it says, actually we're going to read shortly in 1 John chapter 20, 4 verse 20. We cannot say we love God and not love our brethren. Amen? God's purpose is that forgiveness is our way of life. Loving God cannot be divorced from loving people. And that's why at Mosaic, when we talk about our values as a church, we say, number one, we love God. Tap the person next to you and say, we love God. You know? We love God. Number two, tap them now and say, we love people too. Because it's not possible to love God. And I've seen people who say, I love God. You know, I love you, Lord. And, you know, but yet, the moment someone takes your pencil, all hell is let loose. It says you cannot claim that you love God and yet hate your brother. 1 John chapter 4 verse 20 says, Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Strong words. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So I cannot claim that I love God, but at the same time be unwilling to forgive my brother in Christ or actually anyone else. I could talk about how much this person has upset me, how unreasonable they are, but so have I been unreasonable in times in my life. So have I stepped out of God's will for my life. So have I disobeyed and gone away from God's purpose. So I cannot treat other people with unforgiveness if I truly love God. Amen. Does that sink in? Yeah? Amen. Your amen is not strong enough, but I'm comfortable with that. I have to be. Number two, and this is really important, forgiveness outwits Satan's strategies. You know, we often don't like talking about Satan or devil. Sometimes it's weird, it's spooky, it's not great, is it? But the reality is that we don't live in a vacuum. God's purpose is that we should forgive, because this is how he wants us to live our lives. Satan is in opposition to God's plan, and he uses unforgiveness to take us, to rob us of God's best for our life. The devil uses division, offense, and unforgiveness to distract and seek to destroy what God desires for us. You see, when we forgive, we're saying to God, I'm going to prioritize your purpose. It does not matter how I feel, I want to do what God wants me to do. This is how we defeat Satan's purposes in our lives, in our church, in our families. 2 Corinthians, because you say, where's the scripture I referenced, Jonah, for that? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11 says, anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. In order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Satan is an author of confusion, disunity, and he uses unforgiveness in different settings, home front, in our marriages, in school, in church, in places where we might not recognize. And the whole point is, if I can stop you being in unity, I can get in between you and I can stop God's plan and God's purpose. But we're going to say no to that as a people, aren't we? Because we're going to say, God, I am willing to forgive and I'm willing to obey you. Forgiveness is an essential ingredient for relationships, including our marriages, if you're married. If we want to experience God's best for our marriages, then we must learn to forgive our spouses and make it a lifestyle. Ugo, my wife, and I spent yesterday at a conference for couples. That's not my favorite event. And I got a lot of encouragement towards it, so I'm grateful I went though. The speaker talked about irreconcilable differences. Have you heard that word before? And this idea, we always say, you get married to someone you're compatible with. Well, the truth is, no two people are compatible. Sorry to shock you. No two people are compatible. Neither should we expect two people to be compatible. The reality is that God has made us different. And sometimes the offenses that we get are as a result of our differences. Amen? Amen? And yesterday, we did our personality profiles. And I was in there when they did the personality profile, but Ugo was very clear what my personality profile was. But it was interesting as we talked across the room. There were around 35, 40 couples there, and it turned out that only one couple were the same personality profile. Only one. Every other couple were in different tables. And doesn't that say something about how two people come together? I don't want to say God, because sometimes we use God in places where God is not. But the reality is that in our lives, we are different. And that difference is not something that should be irreconcilable differences, because we are children of God and we forgive even before the other person does anything. Amen. And even as a church, we come from different cultures, different tribes, different nations. And sometimes I might look at Ian and say, Ian is British white, isn't he? But he might also have other colorations in his life. The point is, our difference is something to be celebrated. It shows that God's grace exists for all people. And it's something that should excite us as God's people and say, I love to see difference, because that's not irreconcilable. Because in the Spirit of God, we are one family. Amen. And I'm praying that we can realize where the big issues lie. You know, Chiamaka, my daughter, always uses this word. When I have that daddy moment and I think, you know, it's time for me to, you know, when it's time to, you know, give a scripture. And she says, Dad, it's not that deep. And what she's trying to say is, hang on a moment. I don't want some scripture out of this. This is just on the surface. And the reality is that some of our differences, the things that we hold strong, are not that deep. Amen. Say to the person next to you, even before you try, I'm going to forgive you. Say to the person next to you, even before you try, I'm going to forgive you. Say to the person on the other side, even before you try, I'm going to forgive you. Amen. Okay, the next one, forgiveness guarantees our freedom. When we refuse to forgive, it often festers into bitterness and resentment that spills into something big and huge in our lives. The willingness to forgive others brings us into a place of freedom. And young people, I feel like I should say this, because whilst we finished praying, Dave came to me and shared the scripture, Philippians chapter 4 verse 7, which says that God, we should guard our hearts, because God can transcend all understanding. That means if you protect your heart, okay, God's grace can help you in difficult times. And even when someone takes your, I don't know what offends you young people these days. Like in my days, it's like, what winds me up is when someone takes my pen. Like when I was a child, how rude, how dare you take my pen, okay? I know it's more sophisticated now. It might be a post on social media. God says if you guard your heart and choose to forgive, it releases a freedom that helps you in your journey. Some of us older people know that some of the things we regret is, I wish I had let that person off. I wish I had not made something big out of that situation. I wish I had gone to that brother and said, I am sorry. Or gone to that sister and said, I am sorry. Those three words are magic words. And in my house, I usually like to add the other thing. I'm sorry. What is the other thing I usually add now? Please forgive me. I am sorry. Please forgive me. If we can learn to say that, we can be a people of God, and we can make sure that the devil is not in our case. Amen. Yeah. Is this good? Yes. Yes. You sure? Okay. The final one is, forgiveness is required for our prayers to be answered. God demands forgiveness when we come to him in prayers. I think in Mark 11, verse 25, it says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Amen? One that's not, will not be on the screen because that just came to me today, is Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. This one is very important because it says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar." Never mind if you don't come back and find the gift there. But just leave it. "First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." Amen. God's saying, if you want access to me, if you want to pray to me, if you want to communicate with me, forgive first. Forgive first. This is how important it is to God. Amen. Let's be clear. Two things I want to say. Forgiveness is not necessarily forgetting. Okay, let's be honest. It's almost impossible to forget if someone has really hurt you badly. Like God, though, we can choose not to be influenced by what someone has done to us in the past. And by God's grace, we can forgive them genuinely. Second thing I'd like to say, and this is really important, because sometimes the church gets a bad rap for this stuff. Forgiveness is not covering and tolerating sin. If you experience persistent abuse, there's nothing Christian or spiritual about remaining in that situation. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes with big headlines, and this is not to any denomination, because I think it's something that's involved in both Protestant, the Catholic Church, the Church of England, you know, where people have been protected at the risk of other people. And it's really important to say, as God's people, we don't cover sin, especially when it's sin that impacts on other people. In some cases, justice will need to take its course, because as a body of believers, we have to protect one another. Amen. Is that great? Is that clear? I'm wrapping up now. You'll be glad to know. Let me share the story of a lady called Corrie Ten Boom, which I believe has been mentioned at Mosaic before. But I read this many, many years ago, and I went back to it when I knew I was preaching this message. Corrie was a Dutch Christian woman and was known for her courageous acts of resistance during the World War II. During the German occupation of the Netherlands, Corrie lived out her faith by providing a hiding place for Jews and others who were being killed and persecuted by the Nazis. They succeeded for 2 years until they were betrayed and their secret hiding place was discovered by the Nazis. Corrie, her sister Bestie, and their dad were arrested and sent to concentration camps, where they experienced extreme torture and unspeakable suffering, including the death of Corrie's sister. So Bestie died in that period. Corrie survived that period and eventually returned to the Netherlands, where she started a ministry dedicated to reconciliation and sharing a message of forgiveness. Corrie told the story of how she met one of the guards in one of the concentration camps. And while she spoke, she recognized this guard who had been really awful and terrible to her and to her sister. And the quote you might see on the screen right now is something Corrie said about meeting this guard, and as the guard walked up towards her, she says, "Lord Jesus, I prayed forgive me and let help me to forgive him. So she's talking about the guy. Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. And so I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness, it's not our forgiveness anymore than on our goodness that the world's healing hinges on, but on his, that's on God's forgiveness. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives along with the command the love itself. What Corey is saying is, forgiving people is not easy stuff. But the God who commanded us to forgive also provides the strength, the courage to do that. And one of the great things about the Christian faith is to be in a place where you say, God, I really can't do this stuff. And then find the strength of God to do it. Because God does not leave us alone. He gives us the strength. And that's why we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm weak in myself. I want to pay back, not just equal fold sometimes. I want to try and pay back more. So I give the signal that don't try that stuff with me. But God says, no, that's not my way. I want the Holy Spirit to help you to forgive. As I invite the band back, I will say, my friend Steve, and Steve takes the credit for this now. My friend Steve shared with me just as I came, just before the service, that sometimes forgiveness is not easy. And we can sometimes say, I've forgiven you. I could say to Joe, I've forgiven you. But sometimes, every time I see Joe, Joe is my good friend. He's not done anything to me yet. Every time I see Joe, I'm reminded of what happened. So it's a process. It's God's work in our hearts to say, I'm going to let go. I'm going to let God. And I'm going to find a strength to lead me and to help me. I finish with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Can we all read this together? Ephesians 4, 32. Let's go. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ. Amen. Can we just pray? Right now, God might be speaking to you in your heart and saying, giving you specific people you need to go and reconcile with. Let's obey the Holy Spirit because it will do a miraculous work in that situation. Last Sunday, I had a word of knowledge for someone. And I don't know if you are male or female, but you right now have a conflict with your brother. I'm clear, it's your brother. And the genesis of that conflict is that there's something that accrues to you, but somehow there's contest of on the issue. God saying, let go. Just let go. It might not sound like justice, but God saying, let go. And this came to me last Sunday, and I apologize to the Holy Spirit for leaving it till today. If there's unforgiveness in your heart and you feel like God's speaking to you right now, I just want you to lay your hand on your chest. And as we all keep our eyes closed, I'd like to pray right now. Thank you, Father, because you forgive us even while we were yet sinners. While we still sin against you, you forgive us. As we acknowledge unforgiveness in our lives right now, we ask you to forgive us. Those difficult relationships, We ask you, Holy Spirit, come help us find strength, courage to forgive. I pray for a release of the oil of the Holy Spirit right now in this church. Every single one of us, we desire your presence, that we be filled with your power to forgive and to move on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you as we take this step to obey you and to live our lives free of unforgiveness. Amen.